You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller, and today we have a special interview with a lady named Semsey Aydın. She was a national in Turkey, as well as a missionary with her husband, and her story comes from the latest book out of Voice of the Martyrs called I Am In, Inspiring Stories of Christians Facing Islamic Extremists. Semsey's story is very interesting. It's a story of tragedy and forgiveness. I have to warn you that this story is tragic in the sense that it tells the story of her husband's death and persecution, and it is graphic, and it may not be suitable for all of our listeners. This is Semsey's story. Growing up in an Eastern Orthodox Christian family, at least by her ethnicity, it set her apart from the world in which she grew up in, which was largely dominated by the Islamic faith.
I born in binominal Christian family. My family were Orthodox, and until 20, I was not know who was Jesus is, and even the Bible it was everywhere in our home, but I didn't interest to read the Bible.
Even though Semsey grew up in a Christian family, it didn't mean that she grew up hearing about Jesus or even reading the Bible. Instead, she turned to atheism, which I thought was very interesting, so I had to ask her a little bit more about it. Being an atheist, is that more acceptable than being a Christian?
In Turkey, there is a lot of atheists, secret way or open, like as my family member. But many people in my country, they decide to be atheists because Islam, because the religion is so heavy and it's hard to pick up with it. Because atheism is seen like freedom for them.
To Semsey, atheism was an attractive alternative to the religiosity of Islam and Eastern Orthodox, which demanded following of rules, but not a relationship with a loving God or a personal Christ. And yet, even though she was an atheist and didn't believe in any God, she turned to cultish practices with her friends.
And when I was atheist, I played a game with my friend group to call spirit, and we thought we calling human spirit. But at that time, the bad spirit come and start to scare me. Even I was not know we have spiritual world. And I started to defeat this fear, but I couldn't because I didn't know which way I should defend myself. And the fear started to grow more and more. It's like crazy ocean and the whale coming to swallow me. And to search for help, I thought I should share my fear with my sister Janet. She is missionary in Turkey.
After dabbling in cultish practices with her friends, Semsey started to get a little bit fearful. So she turned to her sister, who was the only practicing Christian in her family, who took her to Matthew chapter 5 and told her the story of the demon-possessed man whom Jesus cast out a legion of demons with just one word. This impressed Semsey, and she asked her sister to come with her to her job, where she was developing film in a dark room. She said that dark room was also a picture of her heart, which is fearful and full of darkness. Her sister told her she would have to go to work on her own, that she couldn't go with her everywhere she went. So Semsey went back to work, and she cried out to the spirits that were tormenting her and told them in the name of Jesus to leave her alone. After that, she had a sense of peace and confidence. She wasn't afraid anymore, and she felt like she needed to respond in a nice way to thank Jesus. Since she couldn't meet him face to face, she decided to turn to the scriptures.
And I started to read the Bible for the first time in my life. And when I come to in chapter Roman, and in chapter 5, maybe Roman chapter 5, it was saying, when I was enemy to him, Jesus died for me.
After coming to the book of Romans and reading Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Semsey started to think and compare the level of love that Jesus showed towards us with the love of her family and her coworkers and her friends, and she started to realize that there is no one who loves us as much as Jesus, who is willing to lay down his life for us. It was then that she understood the plan of salvation, and she placed her trust in Jesus Christ.
And I started to share with all the people I met, and I tried to take an opportunity to share with the people, because I want to rescue them and help them, for bring them to Jesus, and he can rescue them from the pressure of the devil.
After becoming a true believer in Jesus Christ, Semsay grew a great passion for sharing her faith with those around her. And her passion for evangelism would eventually lead her to another person who would become integral into her life.
And a young man, he entered a public bus one day, and he started to sit beside me. And after a while, he came back, because there's only the place to sit. And he sat beside me, and he started to ask me, after a while, he started to ask me if I am a missionary, because I was reading the Bible.
I don't think any of us could imagine what it would be like to be an evangelist in Turkey, to share our faith in a place that was predominantly ruled by Islamic faith. And yet, Semsay wasn't ashamed of her faith, and she would even read her Bible publicly, even when riding on a public bus. And one of those times that she was reading her Bible on a public bus, a young man came up and approached her and asked her what she was reading. An awesome opportunity to start sharing her faith with this young man. The young man asked her if she was a missionary, and she explained what it meant to be a missionary in an illustration that any of us could understand. She said that she was like a postman, delivering letters from God to people to show them that they are loved. This drove the young man to inquire more about her faith, and even to start reading the Bible for himself.
And after a while, I gave the Bible to him, and I told him if he has any question, he can turn back to me. And after 3 months, he called me back, and he said he had many questions, and he wanted to discuss about the Bible.
After sharing her faith with this young man, she eventually gave him a Bible, and it drove him to read the stories about Jesus for himself. This young man was Nikati Aydin, who would eventually become Semsay's husband. After placing his trust in Jesus Christ, he decided to go and tell his family of his decision to follow Jesus. His family was not happy, and they actually tried to pull him away from Semsay, prevent him from going to church, prevent him from going to Bible studies, and even take his Bible away from him so that they could burn it. Nikati decided that in order to have freedom, he would join the army, where he wouldn't be under his parents' control anymore.
And when he was a soldier in the Sagres, he started to grow in Christ, and he can go to the church there, and he can read the Bible, and he can share his faith too. And after 2 years, he come back, and during that time, in the 4 years, our relationship start to go closer with him, and we start to fall in love and decide to marry each other. And the doctor, when he come back from the army time, he asked his family to marry me.
After 2 years, Nikati got out of the military, and he and his relationship with Semsay started to grow. They grew closer in the Lord and closer to one another. And Nikati proposed to Semsay and decided to go and tell his family that he wanted to marry her. After his family found out that he was still following Jesus and he wanted to marry a Christian, they told him that he had to make a decision. He had to make a choice whether or not he would remain in the family, or he would be cast out of the family in order to pursue a relationship with Semsay. Nikati took 15 days to think about his decision, but ultimately he decided that he could not turn his back on Jesus, and he wanted to marry Semsay. After telling his parents this, they decided they were going to cast him out of their family. And that rejection of their son was final. They would never see him again.
And we get married in our church, in our little church, and we start to serve Jesus in our church and in our life too. And we were sharing Jesus with all our friendship, and we were taking Jesus wherever we go, and we didn't do anything without him. And our center was Jesus.
In many ways, Being rejected by one's family would cause a great deal of torment and struggle in one's heart and one's life. But Nakati decided to marry Semsay, and their relationship flourished, and their desire to share the good news of Jesus Christ grew and grew, and they were not afraid to stand up for Jesus.
But when you are like dead in love with Christ and crazy for him and sharing about his kingdom, God decided to call my husband to work full-time missionary with Campus Crusade.
When Nakati Aydin had the opportunity to become a full-time missionary, he was incredibly excited. Although he had spent many of his years being persecuted by his own family and eventually rejected by them, he knew that the only way to gain his life was to lose his life for the sake of Christ. He was never afraid of sharing his faith, and he was excited to venture out on this new opportunity to be full-time as a missionary for Christ.
My husband, he started to share the gospel with any place in Turkey, and his job was to share Jesus and make a home church in everywhere in Turkey for the new believer and for the people who interest in the truth, with the truth.
Nakati's passion of sharing his faith paired perfectly with his new career as a missionary. His job involved sharing his faith, planting churches, and starting house groups with people who were interested in Christianity.
And then he go to East Turkey. His heart was aching for his people because after he come back to home, always he sharing his compassion with me about them and telling me to pray to for God can call us to East Turkey because there's no missionary enough there to shine for them and show the way of Jesus. And I started to pray with him for God to prepare our heart and to go to East Turkey.
It was never easy to be a Christian or even a missionary in Western Turkey. And yet the burden of Nakati's heart was for Eastern Turkey, where it was far more difficult to share his faith. He started to pray with his family for a door to open and an opportunity to move to Eastern Turkey to become a missionary in a more hostile territory.
And during that time, the people in West Turkey, they lied about my husband and they said he cursed about Islam and to make him go to jail.
While Nakati was praying about becoming a missionary to Eastern Turkey, persecution started to rise in his own hometown of Western Turkey, where witnesses started to accuse him of blaspheming Islam. He was arrested and thrown into prison for an entire month before he would eventually face trial.
He go to court and he sent a lawyer, and the lawyer sent to my eyes was asking my husband to deny Jesus, then he can make him free.
When Nakati went to trial, he was provided with a lawyer who explained to them that the only way that he could get the court to reduce the charges was for Nakati to deny his faith in Jesus Christ. This caused Semsay a great deal of distress. What would her husband decide? Would he choose to not follow Christ in order to escape the charges? Or would he decide to go forward, knowing that it would mean he would have to face criminal charges and even go to jail? Semsay explained that it never even crossed Nakati's mind. He could never deny Jesus, even if it meant he would be immediately released.
And after that, we go to the courtroom, and the people was there. They changed their witnessing, and they said, Nakati is so good man, and he not cares about any religion. And we feel from the soldier, and we signed this false report about Nakati.
Remarkably, all of the witnesses changed their testimony and said that Nakati had not, in fact, blasphemed Islam. And as a result, he was able to be released.
And God released my husband from the jail, and we were rejoicing with this victory. But after we go to home, still, we decide to talk about our witnessing in Christ and to see how far we can go with Holy Spirit, or we should protect ourselves and hold back a little bit because we will have a first child, and Nakati, he is dead he was dead and husband, and he should protect his family.
After facing potential criminal charges and even imprisonment, many of us might back off on sharing our faith. But for Nakati, this only drove him deeper in his passion for witnessing and a desire to take his family to Eastern Turkey, where he knew that the potential of being persecuted was even greater. After converting to Christianity from Islam, Nakati decided to move his family from Western Turkey to become missionaries to Eastern Turkey.
After that, God prepared our heart in very short time, in 1 year, to go to East Turkey. It means it's a really dangerous place.
Even after facing persecution in Western Turkey, in his own home village where he grew up most of his life, Nakati Aydin knew that his call from the Lord to move to Eastern Turkey would be a fruitful ministry and an opportunity to share his faith in an area that was lacking in Christian representation and Christian missionaries.
Before we go, the news on the TV and on the newspaper, they were telling the people to not rent home for the missionary, but God were all against all this things try to block us to not go. He opened the door and he find home for us, and he starts to home church in our home in East Turkey. And in short time, in 5 years, God started.
Even before they were able to move out to Eastern Turkey, they were already facing challenges. No one would rent to them. But eventually, by prayer, they found a place that would not only be their home for their family, but also a house church where many would come to know and trust in Jesus Christ and worship their Savior.
And we were like 50 people with the Christian and the people who interest in Jesus, but they are not Christian yet. And we were coming together in our home. But my husband, who was the artist, to meet the people who are interested in Jesus in the office, and then he can decide to let them attend the group or not, because we care about the new believer to not get pressure from the people who is high.
Nakati was wise enough to know not to invite just anyone over to his house to worship with the other Christians. Instead, he would encourage people who were curious about his faith to meet with him at his office, where he worked at a Christian publishing company with other Christians translating the Bible. Eventually, two young men would show up asking Nakati about his faith, and after a course of 3 months of sharing Jesus with them, he started to get a bit nervous, wondering about their intentions. He assured his wife that he would remain safe and make sure that he only talked to them when his co-workers were present.
And in 2007, the 18th April on Wednesday, my husband, he goes to his office to do what he has to do. And these two young men, they show up.
On April 18th, 2007, these two young men showed up again unexpectedly and invited themselves in for tea with Nakati and his co-workers, Tilman Getsky and Unger Yüksel. After a while, the two young men told Nakati that they had three friends who were also curious about Christianity waiting outside in a car, and they wondered if they could invite them in as well. Shortly after, the now five young men turned on Nakati and his co-workers, beating them, slicing their throats, and killing them.
After they did that, I received a call at 12 at noon, and they said, there's an attack in your husband's office. And I tried to reach my husband because my hope is that maybe he is still alive, even he gets wounded or hospitalized.
After receiving a call that her husband had been attacked, she turned on the news to get the live report, and she saw her husband being carried off in an ambulance, and a close-up of Unger revealed that his neck had been slit open. Semse was in utter shock. Even though she knew that this was a possibility, the likelihood of it happening right in front of her eyes was far too much to handle. I was curious and asked what the motivations were for these five men to attack her husband and his co-workers. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the political motivations of these five men that attacked your husband?
This five young men, they are not radical as the people behind them encourage them to fill the Christian missionary.
Semsei explained to me that beyond these five who were arrested for carrying out the attacks on her husband and his co-workers, there were 20 other leaders throughout the Muslim community from mosques and universities who were also arrested for instigating these attacks. And yet, she told me that 9 years ago, it was still safer to be in Eastern Turkey as a Christian than it is today.
My daughter, she was 6 years old, and my son, 7. And my daughter, she entered the living room and she asked me, "Mom, why you are screaming?" And I picked up my child and told her to wait in other room and then I will let her know why. And I decided to go to my husband's office on that time because I didn't know how I'm going to handle this terrible picture I saw. And but immediately, God's peace, he was in the Bible promised this peace, and he was here on the cross that peace. Cover me from inside to outside. And I felt like I'm watching something about my life, but it's not touching my heart because there's the shield in me and out of me as like bubble, water bubble.
After first learning that her husband had been attacked and murdered by Muslim extremists, Semsei Aydin began to express her great sorrow through screaming and wailing. Till her children came in and asked her what had happened, she sent them away, regained her composure, and turned to the Lord and realized that he would protect her and he would guide her. She then left to go to her husband's office and get a report for her own self at what had happened to her husband.
And I thought because the shock, that's why I'm calm and peaceful and not crying or screaming or doubting or not blaming God why he not protect them. But the Holy Spirit in my heart, he said the peace, the shock cannot give you peace. This is not only the shock, this is my peace covering you and
Semsei explains that she felt an overwhelming sense of peace. And at first, she thought it was just the shock of everything that was happening before it was able to wear off. But then she realized that it was really the Spirit of God that was giving her the peace to be strong in the midst of a circumstance that was out of her control. She needed to be strong not only for herself, but also for her children.
And we start to comfort my children and the God's children who was asking why God not protect them. In my home they were, and they were asking questions to God and to me even. And I was telling them God protect them because God protect their faith. And I was really caring about their faith more than about their body because I don't want to see them alive without faith.
Semsei explained that she started to fear for her children and how they would react to the situation of their father being attacked and murdered by Muslim extremists. She was afraid, not for them physically, but for them spiritually, that this would cause them to reject their faith, the faith that their father had loved and been willing to suffer and even die for.
And I was sure God, as in us, he was protecting our faith from this bad news and attack. And he was putting in their faith too. And this is not the enemy's plan. This is not only attack or destiny or like victim, destiny is making us victim, but this is plan of God. And there is the victory in it.
On that day, before Nakati had headed into work, he gathered with his family for a Bible study, where they read the story of David and Goliath. And in that moment, after realizing that her husband had died, Semsei started to think that Goliath had won and David had been defeated. But the Spirit of God comforted her, and she remembered that the victory always belongs to the Lord.
I went to the morgue to see my husband. Still, for I loved him so much, I tried to call him back as Jesus called Lazarus from the grave, and I, with little faith, I said, "In Jesus' name, come back."
When Semsei saw her husband's dead body, she called out to him, just as Jesus did to Lazarus, who was in the tomb, to come out and come back to life. But he wouldn't come back to life. And this gave Semsei the closure she needed to then think about the men who would be accused for murdering her husband. Would she be able to forgive them?
And the forgiveness has come immediately too. I never worked on it. And even I saw the murderer in the court many times face to face, and they were had no regret in their face. But from the outside, they look like lambs, but inside wolf. But when I saw them, even the forgiveness never gets weak in me or never changed. And the forgiveness just I receive is just from heaven, because I could not do it by myself.
When Semsei was faced with the men accused of killing her husband, she was overwhelmed with a sense of forgiveness. Even looking at them, she described them as looking like men, but inside they were wolves. And yet she knew that she could never forgive them of her own strength, of her own power, except for the forgiveness that comes through the Spirit of God, the forgiveness that she had once received by placing her trust in Jesus Christ. I asked Semsei to explain more of where this forgiveness came from. You talk about the ability you had to forgive them. Where did that forgiveness come from?
As I told you, the forgiveness, really, we didn't ask for it even, and we didn't work about it even, and we were, two of us, have same spirit as Jesus was here on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, they not know what they are doing." And the forgiveness is depend on God's spirit, not on us or not on the people they deserve or not. Of course, nobody deserves to forgive them, but the forgiveness we know just from her spirit come and it free us, not them, but free us.
Semsei explained to me that this spirit of forgiveness was something that they could never have come to on their own. It truly did come from God. And they were quoted by all of the newspapers that covered the entire nation of Turkey by saying what Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What has happened since these five men were arrested? Can you tell us what was the outcome of their trial?
It's terrible, because just I heard the news 2 years ago, maybe, or 1.5 years ago. They released from the jail after, because 5 years they cannot put them in the jail until the court finished. And the court not finished yet and still continue. But they released them. When I hear that, I felt, this is weird. It's uncommon. They put them on in my husband's office and when they doing this crime, and how they can release them, I thought. But God again talked in my heart with me, and he said, the justice is not bring the glory to me, but the mercy only can bring glory to me.
The legal system in Turkey is a bit difficult. After 5 years of an ongoing trial, these five men were never actually sentenced, and they were released for the trial to still continue to this day. There was witness testimony. There was video testimony. The five men videotaped the attacks on their cell phones, and yet they were never convicted. This troubled Semsei, and she wondered why God would allow her husband and these two other men to suffer and to even die, to be taken from this life, and allow these five young men to be set free. But she's reminded continually that it's always about the mercy and the grace of our God. And that is the very picture that her husband was willing to suffer and even die for. Semsei said that she continues to pray that the testimony of her husband would resonate with these young five men, that they would too place their trust in Jesus Christ. I wondered about Nakati's work there as a missionary in eastern Turkey. and whether or not it was continuing to this day. So I asked Semsei, whatever happened to their work? Did somebody else pick up the work and continue it?
Yeah, they continue. As you said, the people who are working with this company, they're still working, and they still have their office in Malatya, in East Turkey or West Turkey. And even the church we got started in our home, he let it get a building, public building, to go to church.
The projects that Nakati was working on and the Christian publishing company that he worked at with his colleagues still exist today. And the church that Nakati had started in his own house now has their own building, and they're seeing more people come to faith and worshiping Jesus Christ. This surprises Semsei because, as she mentioned, it was far safer to be a Christian in Eastern Europe 9 years ago. So the fact that they are able to worship publicly is a huge testament to what God has done through the persecution and the death of her husband. A year after the attacks on her husband, Semsei and her two children were able to move to the United States, where they found shelter and safety after facing persecution.
First, I want to say that God brought me to U.S. And after my husband died, I lived in Turkey for 1 year. Even I was in danger because my husband's family, they hate me because they think he died because of me.
Semsei explained that she wanted to stay in Turkey and raise her family there. But her husband's family, who had rejected him for marrying Semsei and following Christ, tried to get the courts involved so that they could raise their grandchildren as Muslims. So she fled to the United States to have shelter and safety from persecution. And yet she is sharing her testimony now to encourage the church to pray for her brothers and sisters in Christ, who are continuing to share their faith as persecution grows and increases in Turkey. I had to ask how Semsei's children are recovering from losing their father and losing their country. And how are your children doing now?
They will miss Turkey very much, as they miss their dad, because they took Turkey as their think Turkey plus their dad, you know. But after 5 years, finally they understand God brought us and we here. Even sometimes hard to understand for them, but they start to accept it. Even they start to feel more belong, because they are here more than they were in Turkey now. And
as you can imagine, it was not very easy for Semsei's children to accept the loss of their father and their own country, having to move here to the United States to escape the persecution they were facing in Eastern Turkey. And yet, over the course of time, Semsei's children have learned to trust in Jesus Christ and know that this is all a part of his plan, that the story of their father is a picture of the gospel that is still being used today to win people for the person and the work of Jesus Christ. I asked Semsei what it's like to be a Christian and even a missionary in Eastern Turkey. Can you give us a perspective of what it's really like growing up as a Christian, being a missionary in Turkey?
As I told you, 9 years ago, to be a missionary in Turkey, it was more safe than now. And in the past, it was safe place. West Turkey, it was safe place, but now there is no safe place.
Semsei explained that 9 years ago, it was perfectly safe to be a Christian in Western Turkey, but today, there is no safe place in Turkey to be a Christian. A bomb, an attack, could happen anywhere. And yet, the gospel is still being preached, and people are still being saved. And in the midst of great persecution, victory belongs to the Lord. Semsei, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
My pleasure, and may all the glory go to him.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.